This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Good evening. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Go to chapter 10, and while you're turning there, that song we just sang, it says there that if you're saved, your chains fell off. So when I was in college, I studied health and physical education, and there's one class where our teacher had us wear, I think it was about a 20-pound weight vest. And it's one of those things you put on your shoulder, and it adds 20 pounds. And then we did a series of exercises, and it wasn't for that long, and we're all dying after we had that weight vest on for just a little while. And when I took that thing off, I felt free. People carrying around chains that weigh a lot more than that spiritually, and only Jesus Christ can set them free and get those chains to come off. So I just thought of that while we were singing that. I remember putting that thing on, and then it was such a relief to get that thing off, and that's what it's like to be saved, is to not have to carry around the burden of sin. Amen? All right, so Numbers 10. Let's read the first 10 verses. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys." Verse 7. "But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." So let's pray together. Lord, we believe that these words are true. There's nothing lacking that we have in front of us that we read from. We don't need to know any more information of what you gave us. And we also know that you use these words to affect our hearts through your Holy Spirit. And we sure want to ask that you would do some work here tonight on all of us. We all may be in need of some spiritual surgery tonight. We just pray that you take the sword of your word and do as you see fit. That may not be your intent. You may have other intents as far as what you want to do with your words tonight, but you know the hearts of everyone here. I certainly don't. And I don't want to say things that you don't want to be said. Just pray that you'd take the message and your words and your Holy Spirit would just bring truths to us that we can use immediately. And just help us to truly see these scriptures here that we read as you want us to in this day that we live in. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So what in the world does it matter to us that they had these trumpets and they blew these trumpets and they assembled and journeyed? What does it matter? You think God put anything in here as filler? I don't think he did. So there's got to be a reason why God put this in here. So one reason is this is true historical record. The Israelites really did blow trumpets, and all the things that happened here with the trumpets, which we'll get into, they really took place. So there's historical record. But you and I don't have to blow trumpets to assemble and to journey, and we're not walking through a wilderness with a tabernacle, right? So what in the world has this got to do with me and you today? Well, the beauty of reading your Old Testament is God paints some incredible pictures. in your Old Testament. And the great thing about it is we've just read a bunch of things here all in the Old Testament, and we'll go all throughout the Bible here tonight, some in the Old, some in the New, and hopefully the picture will be very clear to you that God's trying to paint. There's something to learn about these trumpets. So if you notice, these trumpets are mentioned several times there. So trumpets is the theme tonight, and the sounding of trumpets. So call this two trumpets of silver, which are mentioned there in verse 2. And before we go anywhere else with this tonight, I have Brother Bob helping me out tonight. I want to thank him for helping in advance. And he is going to play the first of a few sound clips that have trumpet sounds. And while the first one is playing, I want you to think about and be ready to respond about your reaction to that. All right? So if we're ready, Brother Bob, that first one. That's Reveille. What kind of thoughts came to your mind when we played that? Get out of bed, right? So keep this in mind. You heard the sound of, that was just a trumpet. You heard the sound, and this is the theme that's going to run through the message, Lord willing, tonight. The sound that you heard sent a specific message to you. You catch that? When you heard the sound, you automatically connected that to a message. And all of you said the same thing. Get out of bed. Get up, right? Okay, so there's another one coming. Let's hear the second one, Brother Bob. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I don't know what the name of that one is. Anybody know if there's a title to that? That sounding of the trumpets, that means let's go to war. Let's go to battle, right? Again, I'm not saying anything. You heard the sound, and automatically what comes to your mind? A certain message. And with that message comes, in both of those cases, action, right? First one is get up. Second one, let's go. Let's battle. So there's a message that goes along with trumpets, and there is action to follow, right? Now, the last one's a little different, but you're familiar with this one, so I thought we would play this one anyway. Go ahead there, Brother Bob. Really easy to get emotional with that one, isn't it? Wow. I wasn't expecting that. Isn't that something? The sound of a trumpet can really shake you up. And I don't think I need to say anything about that one, but there's a message sent there, isn't there? All you did was you heard a sound and a certain pattern, and a message is sent with all three of those, right? So that's where we're going here tonight. Let's talk about these trumpets. If you notice there in verse 2, let's get into some details here. And again, I just draw your attention to every single word. Every word of God is pure, right? So when you really look at this, you'll see there's some nuggets here. Look at verse 2. God tells Moses, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. So let's talk about that for a moment. What are the trumpets made out of, folks? Made out of silver. So just about every commentary that I looked at with silver in the Bible, just about everybody says that silver is connected with redemption in the Bible. And I'm not going to disagree with that. I won't take you to the passages, but Jesus Christ was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And then you go over to 1 Peter 1, and he says over there, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. So I read that and I think, okay, I understand the connection with silver, but what redeemed you and I? It wasn't silver. It's something way better. The blood of Jesus Christ is what redeemed me. Now, I understand the connection with silver, but I started looking at some things, and let's connect some dots here. Go to Psalm 12. What is the significance of silver? We'll come back here to Numbers. That'll be where we keep coming back to, but let's take a look at this. This ought to be a verse you're familiar with, Psalm 12. What's the significance of silver? God did not accidentally say that those trumpets were to be made of silver. So you look at Psalm 12 and look at verse 6, and you tell me what silver is connected with after I read it. Psalm 12, 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So what is connected in that verse to silver, folks? It is the words of God. And it says that they're not silver, they are as silver tried in a furnace of earth. So there's a trying or refining or purification process that goes on with silver and with gold. So the words of God connected with silver. That's the first thing. Go over to Psalm 66. Let's get something else here connected with silver. So we've got redemption. We'll put redemption in here. We'll also say the words of God are connected with silver. And Psalm 66, let's see what's connected with silver here. Now this would be an Israelite musician. I don't have a title of who wrote this psalm. It just says to the chief musician. So this would be written by an Israelite. Look at verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. So I see there that's connected with the nation of Israel. I'll give you another reference to go along with that. Zechariah 13:9, just to save time, won't go there. But that also connects silver with the nation of Israel. And if you go to Zechariah, it talks about, that's a reference to the future during the tribulation, how Israel will be tried as silver during that time. So silver connected with redemption, God's words, and then here we've got Israel. Let's go one more. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Redemption, Israel, God's words, and then let's get the last one here, and then we'll put them all together. Proverbs chapter 2. And if you look there at verse 2, we'll go to 2. 2 through 4. Actually, we'll go 1 through 4. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. I believe you could connect that silver there with the desire for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, the most valuable thing that you have on your person right now or in your house, you know what it is? It's God's words. Because in God's words, think about it, who was responsible for preserving God's words? In the Old Testament, it was the Jewish people who are also compared to silver. And this book tells you about redemption, right? Through Jesus Christ. And this book also tells you this is the source of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So put them all together. I think silver is connected directly with God's words, the wisdom it's got, the redemption it offers, and the Jewish people that run all the way through there. So go back there to Numbers and let's put something together here. Notice what it says. I'd say the main thing out of those things we mentioned would be the starting point would be God's word, because in God's word you have all those other things, redemption, the Jewish people, and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So if you look there, again, little details make all the difference. Look at verse 2 again, back in Numbers 10. And this first point, if you want to take notes here, is the significance of the trumpets, first couple verses here. Look at verse 2, it says, make thee how many trumpets? Now look at the wording here. How many trumpets? Two. They're both made out of silver, two trumpets of silver. And then notice what it says. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. Now I put that all together with what we already looked at, and I think about the fact that you've got a Bible that has an Old Testament and a New Testament, yet it's one piece, isn't it? You see, back here in, I've gotten my Bible to date here, about 1490 B.C., God knew there'd be a day where you'd have a Bible made out of 66 books with two testaments. How did he know that? How did he know that, folks? He's God. Thank you, Brother Phil. He's God. I mean, and there's so many things that we could go to just with confirming the whole structure of the Bible. You ever notice Isaiah has 66 chapters? You ever notice that? And all the Bible scholars say, yeah, there's two different people that wrote Isaiah. Are you ready for this? This is what the scholars say. 66 chapters in Isaiah, right? And they'll say, yeah, there's one man who wrote the first 39 chapters. Somebody else wrote the last 27 chapters. You know of a division anywhere where there's 39 and 27? Old Testament 39, New Testament 27? I personally think that the prophet Isaiah wrote the whole book. It just makes it look as a complete change of subject when you go from 39 to 40. If you don't believe me, look at it. When you go from chapter 39 to chapter 40, complete change in what's going on. And it looks like, well, somebody put two books together. Oh, no. It's one book. And God knew that there would be a book one day that you and I would have on our laps with 66 books. That's God, folks. That's only God could do that. So when you look at these trumpets, therefore, one thing they represent is the word of God. And if you keep going there in verse 2, more about this. It says, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them. What are they for? Look at this. For the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. Now keep that in mind. What are their two purposes, folks? Calling of the assembly, and the journeying of the camps. Are you ready? Let's look at a couple things here. Go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Calling and assembly. They're connected with God's word, these trumpets. And we already said when Brother Bob played those trumpet sounds that sounds send a message, right? So let's put some pieces together. The trumpets are connected with God's word. There's a message sent with those trumpets. And a distinct sound brings about a distinct action. Look at Isaiah 58. Did I say Isaiah? Okay, Isaiah 58. Look at verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. What is compared to a trumpet right there, folks? That would be the proclamation of God's word. That would be your Old Testament prophet there. What's he supposed to do? And you could say a preacher today. What's he supposed to do? Lift up his voice like a trumpet. I mean, the trumpet, we're in a church, maybe you've been in churches where they have trumpets. You got to sing so loud just to hear yourself sing. Because you cannot blow on a trumpet softly. It makes a distinct, loud noise when it's played right. So the preacher, the prophet in the Old Testament, is supposed to lift up his voice like a trumpet, right, Brandon? Down on the street corner, you have to for people to hear you. And unfortunately, sometimes for people to wake up in church, you got to lift up your voice like a trumpet, right? Now, you shouldn't just scream nonsense. You should say loud, distinctly, a clear message that God has. When the trumpet sounded for those Israelites, it sent a message to them, and you know what was supposed to result? Movement. Assembly. Journeying. So let's get some more about that. Let's get to back to Numbers 10. So there's the significance of those trumpets. They represent God's word, among other things. They were sounded for the calling and the journeying of Israel. And go down there to verse 3, and let's get a second point here, the sounds of the trumpets. Now here's the fun stuff. Verse 3, it says, and when they shall blow with them, that would be both trumpets, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, we're going to get the historical thing here, so stick with me. Make sure you get this, because I'll make a spiritual connection here in a moment. Both trumpets sound in verse 3. And when both trumpets sound, all the assembly, that would be all of Israel. Now remember, they're journeying through the wilderness. They're camping out in tents. All, if you look at the setup, the tabernacle was the center of the camp of Israel. And all the tribes of Israel were all around, camped in tents all around the tabernacle. Something to learn from that. Oh man. Where was the tabernacle situated? In the middle of all the camps of Israel? Is that where it was? You can check this out. It's in Leviticus and Numbers. In the middle of the congregation of Israel was the tabernacle. What did the tabernacle represent in the Old Testament? The very presence of God. Learn something from that. Who should be the center, the very center, central person in your life? Should be the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, right? You got to be the center. And you ought to move based on Him sending the sound forth to move, like these trumpets said, move. So look at verse 3 again. It says, when they shall blow with them, that's both trumpets, they are to assemble. Notice where they're supposed to assemble. This is very important for later on here. They were to assemble at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So it sounds like to me everybody was supposed to go to the door of the tabernacle when they heard both trumpets sound. You with me? Keep that in mind. Now look at verse 4. Here's a different sound. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. So verse 3, you've got both trumpets being blown, and there's an assembly of everybody. An assembly so that they could have a message given to them, obviously from Moses, who would give a message from God. Verse 4, there's one trumpet blown, and who's supposed to go? Only the leaders, the heads of Israel, right? And they're supposed to gather to Moses, and then Moses would relay a message to them, most likely a message that God gave him to give to them. Okay, so keep this in mind. Both trumpets, everybody. One trumpet, just the heads go to Moses. Now look at verse 5. Different kind of sound here. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. Now, we don't know what these sounded like. But what did your alarm sound like in the morning? I'm guessing here, and I may be wrong, but think about it. What does your alarm sound like? So, I'm not for sure, but it could have been something like that. It was a sound, and then a pause, and then a sound, and another one, okay? So, notice verse 5, there's an alarm, and then verse 6, an alarm the second time. So, there's two different sounds there, or at least sounds separated by a pause. Are you with me so far? Okay, so all that to tell you, in verses 3 and 4, that trumpet sounded, or sometimes verse 3, both of them, and verse 4, one of them. The trumpet sounded indicated for somebody to move so that they could go and get a message. Are you right? Are you ready? Are you with me on that? They're supposed to move. They're supposed to assemble. So the trumpet indicated assemble. Notice in verse 5 and 6, the alarm was sounded, and that was not to assemble. That was for everybody in Israel to move. Because where were they going, folks? They were going from Egypt to the Promised Land, right? So they're journeying, and they would camp for a while, and then they would move. Sometimes they stay for a while. Sometimes they would only stay for a short time. But verses 5 and 6, there's a journey taken. So let me back up here. You've got two different things. You've got an assembly, and you've got a journey being taken as a result of trumpet sounding. Are you with me? So what's the first one? It's a what? Assembly. The second one is what? Now, what does that mean to us? We're not being directed by trumpets. Or are we? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the fun stuff. 1 Corinthians 15. Trumpets. The sounds of trumpets for assembling and for journeying. You see, God put this in here so that you and I would connect the things in the Old Testament with the new. Remember, assemble and journey. Keep that in mind as we read here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Watch verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the what? Trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Folks, there is something going on there with assembly, if you're paying attention. Verse 52, there's a trumpet sound. And it says, the dead are what? That is quite a trumpet sound. You folks don't believe this is going to happen, do you? I believe it's going to happen. Amen. This hasn't happened yet. The Bible says this will happen. Come on now, the trumpet's going to sound one day. And it's going to sound so much and be so clear that dead people will get out of the grave and be raised. Which dead people? It's got to be the dead that were saved. And we'll get to that in just a moment here. I'll give you another reference. Folks, there will be an assembly in the future Hey, today's better than any day, right? Tonight? And it will result in an assembly once that trumpet sounds. Okay, go over to 1 Thessalonians. Get another scripture here. Scripture with scripture. Folks, God wants you to learn about these trumpets in the Old Testament. Here's why. Assembly. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Okay, now before we go on there, people who are asleep in Jesus Christ are dead. But only part of them is dead. Only their body's dead. But what happens, isn't this interesting? Every day of my life and your life, you've done this and you probably never thought about it. Every night, I go to sleep. And when I go to sleep, and I'm sure you do the same, you don't sleep standing up. You sleep laying down flat, don't you? And you lay down flat, and then you're asleep for a time, and then the next morning, you raise from sleep, don't you? You realize that in the natural cycle of life, God has given us a very clear picture of death and burial and resurrection. I'm going to go to sleep tonight, Lord willing, unless the trumpet sounds before then. I'm going to lay down flat on my bed, and then in the morning, Lord willing, I'll get up and I'll walk around like I did before I went to bed. Every day of my life, I'm basically walking through this whole thing about death, burial, and resurrection. So those who are asleep right here are those who were saved, but they died and they were laid in the grave, and only their body's dead. I'm not telling you they're asleep, soul sleep. Their body's dead. They're as alive as can be in heaven with Jesus Christ. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So their soul and their spirit, I can't explain this. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The body's in the grave. The soul and the spirit is there with Jesus Christ. Now, they're incomplete. So what's going to happen after the sounding of the trumpet? That body will come up, and that body will not be like it was when they placed in the grave. I'm not trying to be crude when I say this. They can doctor people up all they want when they put them in the grave, when they put them in the casket, right? Come on, they're dead. They're going to look way better than that one day. They're going to look way better than when they were in their prime here on earth one day. This is what man longs for. Live forever. Live forever and have a perfect body. That's what man longs for. You get that through Jesus Christ. So let's keep reading. I didn't mean to go all that, but look at this. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This ought to match some things we just read. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There they are, out of the grave. The trumpet sounds. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I have no idea. But it will indicate move. It will indicate get up from the grave and move. Move where? Up. Look what it says. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught where? Up, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can you think of anything more comforting than that? Come on! I know you're looking forward to Christmas because you want to get gifts and give gifts and all that stuff, and you want time off from work. This is 1,000 times better than that. This is 1,000,000 times better. Folks, you'll meet Jesus Christ face to face in the air. A trumpet is what starts this whole thing. He's there. I'm here. What did we say the trumpet was for in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 10? Assemble. Oh, there will be a great assembly up there in the air. Oh, and what's the other thing that the trumpet was sounded for? Assembling and what else? Journeying. Oh, I'm taking a journey. Farther than any spaceship has gone. It goes, meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and then where are we going? Where are we going from there? Hyperspace to the third heaven. I don't know if it'll be like that, or I don't know if he'll take us on a tour of Mars and Saturn and everything. I don't know, but we're going. You say this, and you think about this, and you realize, this sounds so crazy. Folks, do you believe the Bible? If you do, this will happen, no matter how crazy it might sound. This will happen. And like I said before, it should be no surprise. This is what man longs for. Something better than what we got now that no president can bring about. that nothing, no amount of money that you could have to bring about, nothing in your life could be better than this. Folks, this is a real event that will happen one day in the future. Could be sooner, maybe later, but it's happening. Wouldn't it be something to be a part of the generation that actually never goes to the grave? That's like Enoch in the Old Testament. He never died. God left him as an example of a whole generation of people who will never see death. We'll go from here to there, get a body like Jesus Christ on the way, and meet him in the air and be with him forever. Now, how did you get all that? How did you get all that? There was a great price that had to be paid by Jesus Christ on the cross so sinners could be saved so that they could have this great hope one day. Isn't that something? Those trumpets. Now, go over to Revelation. Show you another one. Revelation chapter 1 first. See, you read over there in Numbers, you're like, what in the world did God put this stuff about trumpets in there for? I'm not an Israelite in the Old Testament. I don't move based on a trumpet. I don't move based on a trumpet? Are you sure about that? According to what we just read, we're going to move based on the sound of a trumpet. Isn't it interesting? I went to, for the first time in years this year, Sharon and I went to a college football game. And I'm not going to tell you to go to a college football game because it mimicked in some weird ways a modern worship service. It was weird. People all hail to their college football team. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. You know what they do whenever good things happen at a college football game? And this would be a high school football game as well. You know what they do? The band plays. Guess what you hear more than anything else in the band? Yeah, you hear those trumpets. Those trumpets are the loudest things in a band. And they're playing loud. And it's like a victory song when they sound. And they sang, isn't this interesting? At the end of the game, they sang the, you ready for this? They sang the Alma Mater. Now help me out on Alma Mater. You know what that means? Virgin Mother in Latin. Alma Mater? Virgin Mother? You mean the Catholics influenced that? Somehow they did. I have no idea how they got in there. Do you know the Alma Mater to your school? Whatever college or high school you went to? I don't know. I can't remember mine. But at the end of the game, they played what they call the Alma Mater. And it was basically praising the university that won the game. It was really crazy. But I say all that to tell you, all that they have done with the college football scene is they've ripped off some things from your Bible, and they've taken them and made them their own. And I don't think they even realize it. Because what does the devil do better than anybody? He takes pure things, and he twists them and corrupts them. And that's what he's done. Because when you and I sing here at church, like it was some good singing tonight, the singing ought to be praise, all hail to Almighty God, right? And if we did have instruments, we have one instrument playing, but if we had multiple instruments playing, the intent would be all praise, all hail, Almighty God. Not any of us. Not any football team. So it's interesting how that whole thing has been ripped off. Now, go over to Revelation chapter, did I tell you chapter 1? Yeah, chapter 1. Okay, so let's read here verse 10, and watch for the trumpet. Actually, go back to verse 9, get a little background here. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here he is on this island, all alone. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So isn't that interesting? The trumpet, or the voice right there, has some kind of similarity to a what? A trumpet. Go over to chapter 4, Revelation 4. Get this again. So you want to put this scripture together with the 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. See, folks, hopefully you're noticing, and hopefully you notice this when you read the Bible. God places words, the same word or words, in different places in the Bible and intends for you to connect them, to give you a message. All right, look at verse 1, Revelation 4, 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now hold on a second. Where were they to assemble when they heard the sound of the trumpet over there in the Old Testament? At the what? At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The what? We got the door in Numbers. We got the door right here. John chapter 10, Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You think God did that on accident, put all those things in that word door there? Okay, now watch what's happening here. Look at verse 1. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. And what's this one doing? Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So again, this is the third time. A trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15, a trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4, a trumpet in Revelation 1, Revelation 4, connected with going up, assembly, journeying. Folks, you see, we shouldn't just read that Numbers chapter 10 and say, ho-hum, the Israelites had to blow trumpets and that was what it was for, assembling and journeying. No, you're going to assemble and journey one day. Isn't that something right there? And then you put the whole thing together with the door. Now, here's another one. We're meeting Jesus Christ in the air at the rapture, and He is the door, right? And then He will take us. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you, right? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may go also. That's in heaven, right? Now, you know what's in heaven? When Moses was given all the instructions over there in the book of Exodus, you know that part that you skipped when you got bored with your Bible reading around Exodus 25? God showed Moses. He said, I want you to follow my instructions to build this tent, this tabernacle here on earth. And Moses, I'm going to show you something extraordinary so that you'll know exactly how to build it. And you know what God showed him? He says, here's the real deal. You're just going to build the model on earth. You know what it was? It was the real tabernacle. You don't believe me. I can see the look on your face. Don't believe me. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. See, when Moses made that tabernacle, when Moses made that thing, he was just building a model of the real deal up in heaven. Look at this. Hebrews 8. A couple verses here in Hebrews. Look at verse 2. Read verse 1 and 2. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Who's that high priest, folks? It'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. A minister of the sanctuary. And of the what? You see that? The true tabernacle. Which who pitched? The Lord pitched and not man. Who pitched the earthly tabernacle? The Levites did. The Israelites get all the materials together and the Levites were responsible for pitching that thing here on earth. Who pitched the one in heaven? It says right there that the Lord Himself did it, right? Let's just keep going here. It's down in verse 5. Let's read verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Now watch this, verse 5. Who serve unto the what? Example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Watch this. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. You know what Moses built? He built a model of the real tabernacle up there in heaven. So now, you put all the pieces together here. If you're saved, the trumpet will sound. You'll meet Jesus Christ in the air. He will take you beyond the stars to the third heaven where God Almighty dwells. And in that third heaven is the true tabernacle that God made. Now go back there to Numbers chapter 10 and read this with that in mind. And you'll see, oh man, put all the pieces together. It's got to be exciting when you put all these pieces together. This is the excitement of God's Word. Look at verse, let's read there verse 2 again. Actually, verse 3. When they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee. Look at this. At the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So you know what we're getting here, folks? This whole thing we're reading in Numbers chapter 10 is just the picture of the real thing that will happen from here to there, way up there. See, this is just the model. What we're reading in Numbers chapter 10, they were just the model. The real thing happens it's far more superior and it's way better. And it will go from here to meet Jesus Christ in the air, all the way up there. And it will, you and I can't imagine what it looks like up there. I have no idea what it really looks like up there. But it will be the most extraordinary thing we ever laid our eyes on. I mean, think about Pikes Peak. Think about Niagara Falls, all the things I've seen in this world that are really beautiful and majestic. Nothing compares the way it is up there. I don't think any of that stuff's even close. We will just be in awe of God and what he's got up there. We'll be in awe of him, if nothing else, right? Okay, so last thing here. We got the sounds of the tabernacle, the significance of the trumpets and the sounds of the trumpets. Let's get the last thing here. Let's look at verses 8 through 10. And here are the stewards of the trumpets. Now, before I get to this, what is a steward? What is a steward? You're a steward, by the way.
Manager.
A manager. You could say almost like an administrator. Over in 1 Corinthians 4, it says that if you're saved, you are a steward of the mysteries of God. So if you are a steward, that means you have responsibility. Folks, if you don't know what the mysteries of God are, then how in the world are you going to be responsible for them? You got to read your Bible to get that. There's seven distinct, and then there's a few more you could put on top of that. Mysteries that God has given us. New Testament mysteries. God manifest in the flesh. The rapture is one of them. The blindness of Israel, and then God using them in the future and dealing with them in the future. Those are all mysteries of God. You should know about those things. So the stewards of these trumpets, look in verse 8. Who are they? Look at verse 8. It says, the sons of Aaron, the what? The priests. Okay, so keep your finger here because we'll come back at least one more time. Now go over to 1 Peter. Again, there's the model. Let's look at something that applies to you and I. Go to 1 Peter. Who are the stewards of those trumpets? Who are the people that were supposed to blow those trumpets? It was the priests. Actually, specifically, it was the two sons of Aaron, right? Two sons, one for each trumpet, I suppose. Look at 1 Peter. Go down there to chapter 2. Chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look down there at verse 5. Ye also as lively stones. That's kind of interesting. I thought a stone was dead. A stone has no life on it. You know what's really interesting? If you go to a cemetery, you will see a stone marking the graves of people who died, right? And you know what you will find on every, practically every marker in a cemetery that's got it's a stone? You know what you'll find on every one of those stones? You'll find writing on them. And the writing is about the person's life. Usually it tells when they were born, when they died, and it might say something about their life very brief, right? It'll have their name on it, right? That's kind of interesting. We put stones in cemeteries as memorials for people that are dead. Folks, what's it say right there? What's there right there? Verse 5, what's it say? Lively stones. And it's calling New Testament Christians saved people. It's calling us lively stones. You know, I think about a place over in the Old Testament where Joshua, after they crossed the Jordan River, I believe it was, he took a stone and he engraved on that stone the very law of God. Folks, you know what God wants to do with you? You and I are nothing but a dead stone. We're nothing. But when he writes his words on you, God's words are alive, aren't they? Hebrews 4, word of God is quick and powerful, right? Now you're no longer a dead stone, you're a living stone. Isn't that something? You got a lot of dead stones in this world. Hey, you're saved, you're a lively stone. And I think about, there's another verse, I can't call it off the top of my head. It talks about the lively oracles of God, speaking of God's words. Let me ask you a question. You got God's words written on you? I hope so. All right, verse 5. You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Now look at this. And holy, what's that say? Priesthood. That's talking about a New Testament Christian. Is a what? Priest. In the Old Testament, who was responsible for the trumpets as far as blowing them? It was the two sons of Aaron who were priests, right? Today, who's responsible? According to what we just read, who's responsible for God's words? Getting the message of redemption to people, which silver represents, right? Telling people how to be saved, right? Who's responsible for that, folks? Saved people are, right? You see, you're a priest in a New Testament sense. All right, now, we're not the high priest, that's Jesus Christ, but you're a laborer for him, right? And that's what would be the job of a priest, not the high priest, but the other priest. Okay, go down there to, that's the verse I wanted right there. Verse 9, it says it again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal what? There it is again. See, there's something that God wants you to know about you having some kind of responsibility connected with the priest in the Old Testament. Now, what we read in Numbers there said that the priests were responsible for doing what? Back in verse 8. The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpet. Well, let me ask you a question. You been blowing the trumpet? That's the responsibility of everybody who's saved. Blow the trumpet. You say, I got to learn the trumpet? I got to get lessons? No. sound forth God's words. That's what we're supposed to do. Wherever you are, wherever you work, wherever you live, sound forth God's words. Why? So that people can hear. What does it represent? It represents God's word going forth. The message of redemption going forth. The calling and journey. You know what God's doing when He uses you to sound forth His word? Calling sinners to be saved. Calling sinners to repentance. So that they might take that journey from here to there when the trumpet sounds. You see, all this is in there for a reason. Now, go back there. If you're not in Numbers chapter 10, we'll wrap this up. Look at verse 9. Last thing here, man. This is so neat, the way God put this together. Look at verse 9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Think about that again. That's kind of strange. You're supposed to go to war. Shouldn't you get your bow and arrow and your sword and your shield and all your armor on, right? Right? Actually, what does it say to do there? When you go to war, if you go to war, blow an alarm with the trumpets. Really? They did this in the Old Testament. Again, as I show you this, look for the pictures. Go to Joshua chapter 6. This would be the last point here. This would be the stewards of the trumpets. Joshua chapter 6. Those priests bearing those trumpets. Now, this is so neat. We've got two more places to go here and we'll be done. Joshua 6. Look at verse 13. See, you thought we were reading that and it was kind of boring over there in Numbers. You start putting all these pieces together and you see that is an incredible thing how God put all those things in there for a reason. To show you and I spiritual truth for today. So look at Joshua chapter 6. By the way, this is just a little side note here. This is way better than anything Hollywood could take up 2 hours of my time for. No, I'm serious. You got to pay them money to watch something that's not even true, that's got their agenda with it. How about you spend time, how about 2 hours spent in the Bible, comparing Scripture to Scripture, and you're getting a picture way better than any pictures, corrupt pictures they put in front of you. You're getting pure ones here. That's worth an investment of your time. All right, Joshua chapter 6, verse 13. And you know what? People come out of movies. Stop here for a second. People come out of movies, they're all excited. They're all excited about, you know, because there's motivational movies, aren't there? You know, if you saw the Rocky movies, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, you all motivate. For how long? Oh, about 3 minutes. Back to business as usual. This book leaves an impression on you where it's not a short-lived thing. It'll last a long time. Now, you've got to get a refill. But it'll go for a long time. You'll be, oh, man, I... living off those verses right there, and then you need some more, but it's way better than what they offer this world. Okay? And all they do, you know why people go to movies? They can't take the world. It's an escape mechanism. Now, I'm with them. I don't like the world. I want an escape. What better escape than here? Because it's going to tell you, as bad as it is, there's a better hope coming. There's a hope now, but there's something better down the road. Oh, but way better than it. It disgusts me. The reason I bring that up is because I teach and I see the kids at my school, Christian school, and they are just swept off their feet by Hollywood. They march to the beat of the Hollywood drum. And it's Hollywood, it's the music industry, and anything on the internet that Hollywood and the music industry has deemed as this is hip and this is cool. That's what they follow. And it grieves me to no end. And what I'm just saying, this is way better. What we've got here is way better. So much more exciting. So back here, we'll really read this time. Joshua 6. What's that about the trumpets at time of war? Look at verse 13. You know the story. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Remember this? This is Jericho. Marched around the city for one time a day for 6 days. The seventh day they marched around that thing seven times. Then they blew with the trumpets. Not until that seventh day they blow the trumpets. They blow the trumpets. And if you look down there, look what happens. If you look at verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests took out their swords. That's not what it says. What did the priests do? Blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now hold on a second. You remember something over there in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians about a trumpet and a shout and a victory? Look at the wording here. It's incredible. Look down there at verse 17. Actually, I'm going to have to go on a little further here. Go on down there to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. Shout, trumpets. Look what happens. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Look at the wording. So that the people went isn't that interesting, went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Look at the wording of that thing. If you don't see some connections with what we read about the rapture there, that's just incredible. Now, I don't believe the people in the Old Testament, when they conquered Jericho, actually left and went up in the air. I don't believe that. I just think they went from maybe low ground to high ground. But nevertheless, where'd they go, folks? They went up into the city, right? And the wording there that God puts in your Bible is meant to be compared with what we read about the rapture. Because what happened here when they blew the trumpets? Trumpets shout, victory! Enemy defeated! Folks, do you realize when the trumpet sounds and you meet Jesus Christ in the air? No more! You got to worry about the flesh, the world, or the devil. That's the ultimate victory, man. Oh, that's the best. Go to another one here. Go to 2 Chronicles. I remember a couple years ago in Sunday school class back here, we went through all the kings. And we came to this, and I remember thinking to myself when I was studying this, I thought, what a strange thing. But if you know Numbers, what God said about those trumpets and war, it makes perfect sense. Go to 2 Chronicles 13. Verse 1 says, now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. Okay, so just keep this in mind because this gets tricky. Abijah is the king over Judah, all right? Verse 2, he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the father of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. So Abijah, king of Judah, Jeroboam, king of Israel. Verse 3, and Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Okay, 400,000. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. Abijah's outnumbered 2-1. You see that? The army of Israel has double the people that the army of Judah has. You see that? Okay, so then Abijah, he starts preaching here. Verse 4, I'm not going to read all of it, but you go down there to verse 9. He starts preaching to those people of Israel. And he tells them, he says, you guys have left the one true God to follow false gods. Then you go down there to verse 9. He says, have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands? Okay, and you go down there to verse 10, and he says, but as for us, that would be Judah, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. Okay, and he tells about what all the Levites do there. And then if you go down there, verse 12, and behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. You think, oh, Abijah knew what Numbers chapter 10 said? He doesn't say we're going to assemble with boards and with swords and slingshots and bows and arrows. What's he say we're going to do? We've assembled with who? The priests. And those priests are going to do what? They're going to blow the trumpet. So if you look down there, what happens here, verse 12, behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. Uh-oh, look at verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. Uh-oh. Verse 14. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Folks, Abijah knew what Numbers chapter 10 said. He knew that even though God's plans sound weird sometimes, they work. Because look what happens next. Verse 15. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Who smote Jeroboam? They didn't have to fight at all. Verse 16, and the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. How'd they win that battle, folks? Priests, get ready. Priests, blow the trumpets. They sound the trumpets. God remembers them, and God delivers them. You see, those trumpets are continually connected with, we saw, assembling. We saw journeying, and I like this one here in Joshua and here in Chronicles, victory, which again, rapture, folks, assemble, journey, victory. Oh, man, see, when you read Numbers chapter 10 and I did the same thing, I was like, what is that all about the trumpets? Put all those pieces together. Those trumpets are important. Those trumpets are important for you as a New Testament Christian. Trumpet sound! I mean, if you're really anticipating it, right? Yeah. Listen for that thing. The voice of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet, we're out of here. That's it. So here, I'll close here. I can go on for a while, but we'll close here. A couple things to ask you here. We said silver represents the Word of God, among other things. How valuable is the Word of God to you? According to the Bible, it's the most valuable possession you have. But you'll show whether it's valuable to you or not by how much time you spend with it. If you're giving more time to other things besides the Word of God, you're saying it's more valuable than the Word of God. Think about how valuable God's Word is to you. Second thing, trumpets were to be sounded, prompting action. So folks, you've heard the preaching of God's Word a couple times today. Three, if you're here for Sunday school. It ought to not just have you say, that was cool, and go home. It ought to move you to action. And then the last thing here, trumpets were blown to call at the time of war. And I'll tell you what, maybe we need to sound a trumpet here in Titusville and say, hey, we got a war going on. Christians, let's go. Oh, Lord, you fight the battle for us. But we're aware that there's a war going on. So let's get engaged in the battle. So some things to think about. And there's so much in that little passage right there, so rich that the Word of God is. So let's pray together and we'll have our time of invitation. Thank you, Lord, for all that you put together here for us tonight, just with these trumpets, incredible things to learn. And I just pray that we would not go out of here fat, full of God's Word, but we would go out of here and be moved by your Word and do something. And I just pray you'd remind us of these truths throughout this week. Lord, may we truly, really and truly be anticipating the sound of the trumpet, not be ashamed that you're coming, but anticipate your coming. And I pray that we'd respond in a way you desire here tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay you the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.